I'm Alan Brandt. Violinist Sarah Chang was in Louisville recently to perform with the Louisville Orchestra, and I talked to her a bit, starting off with how early she started her career.
Made my official debut with the New York Philharmonic when I was 8, and then that's really when my career started, and that ball sort of started rolling. So first recording at age 9, and that's sort of the big milestone we're coming up on now for the 20 years.
Mm-hmm. About your recordings, who decides what is recorded on a major label like EMI? The artist, I hope, has some input, but EMI, you know, would like to sell some CDs too.
Yeah, no, I do. I do. I mean, at this stage, I've been with the company for 20 years. Now they know me. They know how I like to work. They know the repertoire that I prefer to work on. Obviously, we go into meetings and they have their wish list. I have my wish list, and it's usually a compromise between the two. And normally we are pretty much in sync. We have been pretty much in sync for the past 20 years. So I've been one of the lucky ones out there.
Mm-hmm. And your recent recordings include the Brahms Concerto.
Yes, that is my latest recording. That is it. The Brahms and Bruch concertos.
Classic and awesome coupling there.
You know, I love the Brahms Concerto so much. I can't even begin to tell you. It is one of the most beautiful, luscious, gorgeous, dramatic, passionate concertos out there. And I've been waiting quite a while to record it and to put it down on tape. And when we were thinking about, you know, coupling it with another concerto, we were all, the company and myself, we were stunned to realize that, you know, in my history with the company, I haven't done the Bruch yet, you know, which mm-hmm. is one of the staples of the violin repertoire. Sure. So it made sense to do it. To give it a German theme. We recorded it in Germany with Maestro Mazur, who, you know, is one of the great living German maestros. So it all linked together pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And your other recording that you're featured with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra mm-hmm. is the Vivaldi Four Seasons.
Yes,
which,
it is.
We needed another recording of that. But it's nice to have a fresh recording and a fresh interpretation too, I bet.
You know, that's another thing, because that the Vivaldi especially was on EMI's list for probably more than a decade. You know, every meeting that I would go into for the past about 10 mm-hmm. years, they would ask, you know, when are you going to do the Four Seasons? When are you going to do the Vivaldi? You know, we want it down on tape. When are you going to do it? And it got to a point where, you know, I did realize that every violinist and their grandmothers had recorded the Vivaldi Four Seasons. And I wanted to make sure that if I was going to put it down on tape, I wanted, you know, to have something to say about the piece. And I wanted to bring something new to the table and something fresh. And also with a piece like that, you know, because it is so extremely popular and
right.
everybody knows, you know, the themes and the melodies, you know, you want to be 120% sure about what it is that you're doing. So mm-hmm. I did wait a bit before I recorded that.
If you just joined us, we're talking to violinist Sarah Chang, who will be performing with the Louisville Orchestra as part of the Fanfara Gala opening on Friday at 8:30 at Whitney Hall at the Kentucky Center. I imagine starting off very early as a recording artist, that you may look back at one of your earlier recordings and say, you know, I'm a bit older, a bit wiser, and I would have liked to have done that recording a little differently. Does that happen?
Oh yeah, of course, it does happen. You know, there's a lot that I have recorded. Most of the major violin repertoire I have put down on tape. So, once you do something when you're so extremely young, the next logical thought is, oh, I want to do that again. You know, I would love to go back into the studio and do that again. And it's not to take away from the work that I did back then, because I never went into the studio and we never rolled the mics unless I was completely sure that I felt confident and ready at that point. So it's a nice staple of my growth at that time and where I was musically at that particular moment. But there are certain pieces that, of course, you know, somewhere down the line, I'd love to record again.
And when you mature as an artist, what necessarily or comes to mind, what does that mean to you? Does that mean a more reflective performance, maybe a pause here, or do you have anything in mind?
It's mainly the musical aspect.
Like phrasing?
Yeah, phrasing, ensemble, a lot of the chamber music aspects. I've been playing more and more chamber music over the years, and I think that does influence the way that you listen and then in the way that you phrase with the other instruments, even if it is a concerto.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Mendelssohn Concerto, arguably the most famous, best known of it, and approaching it with the Louisville Orchestra. Have you had any performance rehearsals yet?
No, actually, we start tomorrow.
Okay.
And very, very excited. I've never been here before. This is my first time here with the orchestra, and it's also my first time with George Muster.
And oh, really?
It is. Wow. And I went to the Aspen Music Festival as a student, and Maestro Muster was the music director when I started going there in, I think it was 87. I was 6 years old when I started going to Aspen as a student, mm-hmm. and he was still the music director then. So I have memories of seeing him on stage and seeing him around campus and, you know, seeing him around Aspen. So this is great. This is like a trip down memory lane to play with him here.
Now, were you familiar with the Louisville Orchestra recordings, first edition recordings?
I've heard a lot about them. I've heard a lot about the history of this orchestra. I think it's fantastic. Not just their history with the recordings, but also the fact that Maestro used to be here as a music director and then came back. And I think it's such a wonderful circle, mm-hmm. you know. And it doesn't happen a lot in this industry, you know.
No.
And yeah, and I think it's very, very special.
Well, that's another part of your life that we don't hear too much about, perhaps more and more now with the new technologies, but you're on the road a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And people can actually follow you if people follow Twitter. Well, Sarah Chang tweets and has had a lot of fun entries on her Twitter account. What's fascinating is not really how you prepare for a performance, but how you make sure that your suitcases arrive at the hotel with you, yeah, or your struggles in parallel parking and things like that can be really, give us a really good glimpse into your personality.
Well, you know, it is me. It is definitely my voice. It's, you know, myself tweeting, and, you know, I mean, I've got a wonderful team taking care of me, management-wise and PR-wise, but, you know, tweeting, and we had this discussion when they sat me down, when they all collectively sat me down and said, I think this was about a year and a half ago, when they said, Sarah, you don't MySpace, you don't Facebook, you don't Twitter, you don't do anything. You've got to pick something that you want to do. And I'm not a big computer techie. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like Twitter was something that I could do myself and that I could really get my voice across with. And it's done in my own time, you know. So there are times when if I've got a huge delay at an airport, you know, and I'll sit down and I'll tweet like crazy. And I'll de-stress about everything that's going on in my life. And then there'll be times when I'm completely overloaded with work and so many pieces that I need to work on, too many rehearsals, too many interviews, you know, too many concerts. And there may be, you know, 5 whole days, you know, that pass by before I can insert mm-hmm. another tweet. So it really is a reflection of my life, you know, the craziness of it. Every time, you know, my bags decide to go to another country, you know, when I go to a city and they don't, you know, they decide to take another plane and go elsewhere, you know, and I'm stranded and I've got a concert in 4 hours and I don't have anything to wear, I'm going to tweet about it, you know. And if I go shopping and I find like the dream pair of shoes or high heels and I'm excited, then I'm going to let everybody know. So it's a really, really nice friend in a way, you know, when you're on the road.
Right. Well, I hope you have some time for some tweeting while you're in Louisville. I'd like to hear some of your experiences in our area. I know it's hot here for you. I wish we had more regular weather for late August.
It's beautiful. But, I like the heat.
I hope you also enjoy your performance with the Louisville Orchestra. It's coming up on Friday mm-hmm. at 8:30, part of the gala fanfare opening celebration of Louisville Orchestra. I wanted to just change gears a little bit and ask you about your instrument. What is the instrument that you play?
I use a Guarneri del Gesù. It's an old Italian. It's just under 300 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I am so lucky to have it. I am so very lucky to have it. I got it through Isaac Stern many years ago before he passed away. And it's my voice. It's my voice when I'm on stage. You know, I've spent the better part of, I think, about 10 years with it. And now it's almost like an extension, you know, of mm-hmm. my own body because I spent so much time with it.
Yeah, I play an instrument too, and I know a little bit about what it's like to have a relationship mm-hmm. with your instrument. Some people give their instruments names, you know. Sometimes it's just becomes an extension.
Yeah, I'm not that extreme. Yeah, I haven't actually named it ever. I don't think it'll get to that point ever. But no, it is almost like a friend, you know. And mm-hmm. you know, it needs a lot of TLC, you know, because you know, if you travel with an instrument as much as I do, you're going to be going from LA to Louisville to Aspen to, I'm in Hong Kong after this, and then I go to London and then Paris. And then you're talking about so many different climates and weather changes.
Yes.
And, you go to a place like Aspen, and it's so high up and you're in the mountains and there's zero humidity. And then you come down here and, you know, it's sweltering. So it's just, you need to take care of the instrument and, you know, to make sure that, that it's happy, because if it's not happy, you're going to hear it on stage, you know? Mm-hmm.
Do you have to take it in for checkups occasionally?
I
just
do.
Make sure that
everything's okay
with
it.
Because there's a lot of pressure in those strings.
Yeah,
isn't there? That's,
exactly.
That's a lot
and
of
it's
tension.
Not so much the strings that's important. It's what's it's inside the instrument, which you can't see unless you actually have the right equipment. But if you look inside the F holes and between the top and the bottom layers of wood, it's you've got a sound post and you've got patches and you've got the actual heart of the instrument. And if you're not careful, you know, obviously there are things that can happen. It can crack. The seams can come open if you're in a place that's too dry. There are a lot of things that you need to just, you know, take care of to make sure that it's in happy condition.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very fun to meet you.
Oh, thank you.
Being a recent tweeter, follower of you, and finding out that really you're just starting out in your career. You have such a lot to get to yet in your career. It'll be exciting to see what you do. I know you're also interested in new music and performing world premieres too.
I am. I just premiered a piece by Christopher Theofanidis. He's a Greek American composer. He's very young. He's in his 40s, and he wrote a concerto for me about 2 years ago, and it totally just whet my appetite for working with new living composers, because it's such a luxury, you know, to have an actual back and forth relationship with someone who's writing this piece for you, and you can actually look at the music and work on it. And then, you know, there were times when I was in a hotel room in Germany and he was in Atlanta, and I would call him up. It would be like 2:30 in the morning my time, and I'd call him up and say, "What are you thinking? You know, no, you can't play this. No, can you change this page, please?" You know, and he was amazing, because it was his very first violin concerto.
Oh, wow.
And his instrument is the piano. He's a trained pianist and was not a violinist. So when we started the project, he was very open in saying that it was his first violin piece. So it was almost like a joint sort of project where he obviously wrote every single note of it, but I did want to make sure that it was violinistically agreeable, and that every violinist in the future who plays the piece after me wouldn't be, you know, cursing at me for having okayed, you know, some of the insane passages.
Uh-huh. So. Well, that's a lot like the Brahms concerto that he had Yosef Joachim,
yes,
to help him with his violin concerto.
And I think it's a really, really good idea when a composer acknowledges that if it is a violin concerto or a piano concerto, and, you know, actually has somebody who plays that instrument to sort of put their input. I mean, one of the other reasons I wanted to put the Brahms and the Bruch together and pair them up together on that record was the fact that Joachim had helped both of them. He had been the violinist, you know, like the go-to violinist of that era, and both Brahms and Bruch had gone to Joachim for, you know, for a stamp of approval. So if you actually look at both pieces, his handprints are all over the place, you know, in both concertos. And I love that sort of connection, and you know, I love things to have a cohesive sort of link.
Sure.
So yeah, it seemed to make a lot of sense.
It'll be neat to see liner notes for the recording, future recordings of that concerto, and see Sarah Chang, you know, collaborated with the, you know, composer. That'll be neat to read. Again, the Louisville Orchestra will be having their fanfare opening night gala celebration. It's Friday, September 3rd, 8:30 p.m. at Whitney Hall. George Mester conducting, with guest violinist Sarah Chang performing the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto, along with Wagner, DeFaya, Puccini, and Paul Dukas. And if you are interested in tickets, 584-7777. You can also visit the Louisville Orchestra website at louisvilleorchestra.org. And please do check out Sarah Chang's website and her twittering on Twitter at Sarah Chang. And hope to have everybody enjoy your performance on Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you very much
Thanks
for coming
very
in.
Much.